A moment of profound injustice in American history is being commemorated in a place of justice in Eugene. For several weeks now, the Wayne Morse Federal Courthouse has been home to a display called The Art of Survival, Enduring the Turmoil of Tule Lake. Tule Lake was home to one of the internment camps set up during World War II to hold Japanese Americans. After Pearl Harbor, the federal government removed nearly all Japanese Americans from the West Coast, just in case they were inclined to fight for Japan against the United States. The Art of Survival is a traveling exhibit, and its appearance in the courthouse until November 22nd is a result of the efforts of one of the judges working there. Federal Judge Ann Aiken is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Judge Aiken, welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you for asking to cover this event.
Glad to have you. Where did you first see the Art of Survival display?
Oh, it was really a sort of an unbelievable set of circumstances. I was down for 4th of July events in Klamath Falls. I have dear friends down there, and I had gone down, and they were very involved with the Favo Museum, and a number of the people said, there's this amazing exhibit, The Art of Survival, and we want you to see it. So we took part of the afternoon, and we went over to the museum, and I was jaw-dropped. It's a stunning exhibit. I was profoundly moved that it was being shown in Klamath Falls, given the incredible pain and, in many respects, shame that people of the community felt about what took place. But their pride in having this stunning exhibit was overwhelming. I met Madeline Blake, who really has been a curator of art projects in Southern California, but actually was a Klamath native and moved back, and had a conversation with her, and I said, I want so badly to have this up in Eugene in the courthouse, because we've just completed a long effort to memorialize what took place in Eugene by creating a beautiful memorial and garden, the Japanese American Art Memorial near the Holt Center, where in Eugene, people who were headed to internment camps had to get on the trains. And there's this stunning exhibit. The community was overwhelmingly supportive of the effort, and I thought it tied together something that meant a great deal to our community, and at the same time addressed the complexities of what it means to have a rule of law and a Bill of Rights and the expectations that we all have with regard to constitutional rights. And it was just a snapshot and an ability to pull all of that together in a very visual, moving way.
It sounds like you were very well versed in the story of the camps, not just Tule Lake, but all of them.
Yes. I'm a second-generation Oregonian. My grandfather was owner of a newspaper in Ontario where he editorialized and spoke against the camps. It's been something that we have paid attention to. My oldest son was involved with a huge committee that put the memorial project together in Eugene. And it's really an important aspect of my work, and that is that protecting the rights and the balance of rights and responsibilities under the rule of law is, you know, we look at it and we look back to history and we look at how we can make sure we do better work, and we learn from our mistakes. And that clearly was one of the mistakes made by this country, and we have been trying to make amends ever since.
Judge Aiken, give us a little description of the Wayne Morse Federal Courthouse, because it's not every federal courthouse, certainly not the one in Medford, for example, that can handle a display like this.
No, and I sit in Medford, and the Medford Courthouse is, a different era of courthouse, and we love it, and it's a great place to work, but it would not host an event like this. The Wayne Morse Courthouse is a contemporary location. It is a very open spaced, a lot of light, and a lot of white walls. A very, shall we say, almost sort of industrial, sort of haunting space. And one of my goals has been to find ways to bring the public more into our building, because that it's the public's building, and I've worked hard during my period as chief judge to do that in Portland and in Eugene, holding events here. And it was very clear to me that one of the things we need to do is have rotating art in the building. And so I worked from the time a year ago, 4th of July, with GSA and with a number of the players that needed to be involved. The congressional delegations, I have to give a shout-out to Congressman DeFazio, Senators Wyden and Merkley's office, who each played a pivotal role in making this happen. And so what we did is, as a community, we pulled together and we opened up the courthouse. The exhibit is on all three floors of the building, and it is beautifully hung, and we've had more people in to just see the exhibit, and a wonderful story by a local arts writer in the Eugene Weekly. So it has started a process to bring people in. You know, as a part of the show, there are these haunting panels, there are these photographs of artifacts that were made by people in the camps, and we have a guard tower that's a replica of a guard tower of the camp made by one of the internees who is now 92 years old, and he donated it to the Parks Service, and so that was brought up here, and it sits in the middle of the courthouse. We had a couple of really wonderful children who made 500 colorful, gorgeous cranes in memory of this that are hung in the jury room, and people can fold cranes in memory of individuals. And then we have three different videos that are shown. And the final, I would say, one of the longstanding pieces of this will be we planted Japanese cherry trees in the front of the courthouse. And they are along where there were patches of grass. But we planted the cherry trees, the same species that are planted on the Potomac that were given to this country by Japan. And they're the same cherry trees that are planted in Portland, because we will do this exhibit again next year in Portland. It's in demand, so I was able to book it in 2016 for Portland. And it's a remembrance factor of, you know, what took place here, and never forget.
We're talking to Federal Judge Ann Aiken about the display of art from Tule Lake, the art of survival enduring the turmoil of Tule Lake, now on display at the Wayne Morris Federal Courthouse in Eugene through the 22nd of November. And you can join our conversation on the exchange about this topic, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We have a call here from Mark in Redding, California. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Judge Ann Aiken.
Good morning. Yes, morning. From what I understand, Tule Lake was not just your average everyday internment camp. Tule Lake was where people were sent if they were uncooperative. According
to the no-nos. Yes,
yeah, the no-nos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. So explain what the no-nos are, Judge Aiken.
The no-nos were the individuals who would not sign paperwork or cooperate, essentially. They stood their ground, and they were considered to be the most difficult of the internees, and they were relegated to really what was considered to be the only official, so-called official internment camp. And so there's this heightened attention to the Tule Lake area because of the sort of the strength of the internees who really stood up and stood their ground. And I would say the treatment of them was substantially more pronounced than what happened, from what I understand, at other camps.
I was surprised in the description of the guard towers to find out that there were 28 of them at Tule Lake. This was not that big a camp. That's a lot of guard towers.
A lot of guard towers. And what was very interesting, and I say this with all due respect, as I toured and walked, I mean, the panels that describe what took place, they're beautiful panels that talk about what happened and really some tremendous historical information. The panels are beautifully done, and then they're hung with barbed wire. This show is really thoughtfully put together. I give so much credit to Madeline Blake, who did a beautiful job with them. But the harshness of the treatment, but as I walked around, and I was mesmerized seeing this in Klamath Falls, and I stood talking to someone, and I overheard a conversation where one of the women said, "This is a replica of the guard tower." She was reading the sign by it. And she said, "Well, actually, the original guard tower is in my barn." So there are actual pieces of that camp that still are to be discovered in various parts of communities in Oregon and California, I strongly suspect.
When she said that about the guard tower in the barn, did you tap her on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me," and ask a little more?
No, just a piece of information to put away that I could talk about later, mm-hmm. because that's how near in time all this took place. And I, you know, one of the things you learn in the work that we do, if you study the history of this country and the history of constitutional law and the cases, and you look at it, is, you know, as a court, you know, courts love liberty most when it's in jeopardy least. So these very difficult questions, the question that that addressed all the internment issues, those were incredibly complex questions at the time, and we were forever going to have to address the decision that was made that was in all ways was wrong. And so it's a reminder, and why having it in a courthouse is so important. It's a reminder that if we are to be the country that stands for democracy and the rule of law and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that we have to remember that we have to uphold those rights.
Were there legal challenges back in the day? I mean, I ask this not to be flip or anything, but because when you think about the fact that the people who had standing were the ones who logically were sent to the camps and therefore not likely to be able to spend any time getting a lawyer and all that stuff.
There are cases out there that you could look at. That would take a whole other show to have a conversation mm-hmm. about that. And there are movements across the country to repair all the damage. And yes, the reparations, that was a major piece of legislation to go back and address some of the issues, the land that was taken, the property that was taken, the damage that was done, awarding college degrees to people who were pulled out of school, addressing and many, many places across the country and in the United States, we have made a significant effort to try to undo the damage that was done, because it's still felt by generations. There are still many events that honor and respect what took place, and to make sure people never forget.
Judge Ann Aiken, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a federal judge working out of the Wayne Morse Federal Courthouse in Eugene, where right now there is an art display called The Art of Survival. And during the turmoil of Tule Lake, which reflects some of the events that happened when Americans were interned in Japanese-American internment camps at Tule Lake and other places around the country, 800-838-3760, if you'd like to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. One of the really outstanding displays I noticed is those large digits. 9066. What do those mean?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's the executive order that was issued for the internment. They are absolutely haunting. They're on silk, and you can see handwritten notes of internees on the walls. It's stunning, and I would say it's actually probably one of my favorite pieces of the exhibit, because it is haunting, and it shows the official action that was taken. I actually have in my chambers, I have a gift that was given to me of an old poster. It's historic in nature of the justice that ruled in this endeavor, and I have it as a reminder about how complicated people are and how complicated the issues are, and to always stop and take a look at every vantage point of what the expectations are, and how complicated the issues of the times and the issue of the rule of law over against those times. And that's a reminder always, that having the exhibit here is a reminder of what we do in this courthouse is so important in how society functions and what our view and role is around the world. I mean, it's one of those periods of time when it's very difficult to talk about this without feeling a tremendous amount of shame for the citizens that we interned who were of Japanese descent or were perceived to be a threat when their rights and responsibilities and the rule of law, and yet we sort of disregarded that. So, why I wanted very much to have it in the courthouse and have it up in Eugene is to keep a conversation going about none of these questions are easy, and some of them are more difficult to face, but that at the bottom line is we have to be a country that honors and respects the rule of law, and we don't take these actions without understanding what and who we are. And they're complicated.
Well, it seems like if you're in the business of meeting out justice, as you are, if you're working in that courthouse, you'd have to at least take a moment's pause to think, well, people thought they were doing right then. And that really would give you kind of pause to, as you just mentioned, look at things from all angles.
Well, history could repeat itself. That's a reminder. And all these lessons, we all are moving ahead in our world, but there are lessons to be learned when you understand the underpinnings of what brought this country into being, what were the expectations. And sometimes that debate doesn't get beyond just people taking the short view of the world, or shall we say sound bites of it. There are some real lessons. And, we sent letters out to all the schools and wanted to have the opportunity. We have a Japanese immersion program here as a reminder that there's a great deal to learn when you go back and look at history, you look at the constitutional progression, the way the law is drafted, the way in which we have interpreted a document that is really an elegant piece of work, and then the three branches of government and what role everybody has in participating in the rule of law. But the ultimate obligation of to enforce the law and interpret the law is left to the courts. So, you know, symbolically, I mean, I look at this as a beautiful example of the symbolism of understanding the importance of the judiciary and importance of the rule of law, and to come and understand this piece of history so that we can do better work down the road. You know, it's an inspirational exhibit, and I can tell you just everyone who worked on the memorial here in Eugene, that's really a stunning tribute to those who were taken from the train station to internment camps. It's a stunning set of panels and garden where people can go peacefully think about these issues. And, you know, it was created by students who, in many respects, who drove the agenda, students who helped the community drive the agenda because they learned about it in the classroom. You know, education is the great equalizer, and the opportunities to have better education means you go back and learn lessons from history so that you can better apply them in the future. My hope is that this will be a conversation and, again, another opportunity for us to pay our respects to those who really lost a great deal during that period, and their families deserve us to recognize what happened.
About 20 seconds left. What are the hours the exhibit is open?
The courthouse, please don't bring your ID, and because you have to go through security, but we're open from 8 in the morning and till 5, and your people are welcome. It's a self-guided tour. It's beautiful, and we are going to have an event tomorrow from 3:30 to 5, and people are welcome to come. We're going to have a nice opportunity to share this with the community.
All right. The Art of Survival, Enduring the Turmoil of Tule Lake. Judge Ann Aiken is the federal judge who brought it to the courthouse in Eugene. Thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for making this one of your topics.